Reading this morning from Luke's Gospel, chapter 6, starting at verse 27. But I tell you who hear me, love your enemies, do good to them that hate you. Bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you. If someone strikes you on one cheek, turn to him the other also. If someone takes your cloak, don't stop him from taking your tunic. Give to everyone who asks you, and if anyone takes what belongs to you, don't demand it back. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who are good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. And if you lend to those from whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners, expecting to be repaid in full. But love your enemies, do good to them, and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great, and you'll be sons of the Most High, because He's kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. This is the Gospel of Christ.
Let me pray. Heavenly Father, these are such strong words of the Lord Jesus. And even though they may be familiar to some of us, when we stop and think about them, they are so confronting and so challenging. And I pray that, every Sunday we ask this, but particularly this morning, Lord, that your Spirit would search our hearts, that your Spirit would challenge us where we need to be challenged in terms of our attitudes towards others and our need to love. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, good morning, everyone. It's nice to see you, and thanks for being out on a freezing morning. We're a bit emptier than normal, and I think that's probably got a lot to do with it. Your reward is this passage. Very tough passage. Strong words from the Lord Jesus. Don't look at your phones. In 2013, one movie ruled all the other movies in terms of box office receipts, more than Despicable Me 2 with its theme tune Happy, more than Fast and the Furious 6, more than the second Hobbit movie or the second Hunger Games movie, more than all the superhero movies like Iron Man 3 and Man of Steel and the second Thor one. The number one movie of the year was... Look outside. As the snow stopped. Frozen. Frozen, very apt this morning. If you don't know what Frozen was, it was a cartoon movie about two sisters. As well as being the number one movie of the whole of the year, 2013, it's the highest grossing animated movie of all time. In a climate, pun intended, where the latest Pixar or DreamWorks animated movie normally dominates the scene, the increasingly uncool Disney released Frozen, and it broke all expectations and records. Now, hands up if you've seen Frozen. Oh, quite a few. I enjoyed Frozen. I didn't love everything about it. It's unforgivably given the world endless renditions of that song, Let It Go. But I think that one of the reasons it became so popular and resonated with so many people was its portrayal of love. You and I live in a world that's obsessed by love. The Beatles sang All You Need Is Love, and it seems to be borne out all around us. Everywhere you look, everything we see or hear or feel seems to have love as central. And yet one of the great tragedies of our world, I believe, is that the love that's so often trumpeted, the love that's so often proclaimed, is a shallow, light version that is so much more insipid and weaker than real love. Today, the love that's plastered around is nearly always romantic love and nearly always selfish love. And Frozen, surprisingly, bucked that trend. It told the story of two sisters who were princesses growing up, and I don't want to spoil it for any of those of you that didn't put their hand up, but instead of going the normal traditional romantic love road where boy meets girl and they save the world, the film peaks with an act of non-romantic, sacrificial love, where one of the sisters puts her life at risk to save the other. Instead of weak love that's out for what makes me feel wonderful, this was love for the good of someone else. Instead of a love that's driven by hormones, this was a love driven by affection and goodwill. The portrayal of love was much stronger in this movie than normal. And I wish, just by the by, I wish Hollywood would take notice and realise this, that the key to this movie was not just catchy songs or good animation or a funny snowman, but actually it was a portrayal of strong, selfless, sacrificial love. And that's so much more powerful for our world to see today. Good for us to see today. But as good as Frozen was in its display of love, Jesus takes it even further in his words today. Frozen challenges, I think, what pathetically stands for love today in our world, but the words of Jesus here take it to an even greater level. Now, if you were here last week, you'll remember that these words of Jesus are part of a well-known sermon that is often called the Sermon on the Plains. It's called that because Jesus preached it, we're told in Luke, on a level place, which is an odd-sounding location, but that's what we're told. So it's often called Sermon on the Plain. And we're taking 3 weeks to look at it. We began last week, we're focusing on another section this morning, and we're going to finish it off by looking at the bit next week. And in this sermon, we find Jesus being utterly radical. In this sermon, he is totally countercultural. And he's radical and countercultural then, but it's radical and countercultural even today. Because in the end, Jesus here is not just speaking out against the culture of one particular time or the culture of one particular place. He's actually talking and being radical about the culture of human beings generally. As human beings, we have tendencies. We have a bias. We all, like sheep, have gone astray, as the Bible puts it. And Jesus in this sermon is speaking to his sheep. He's preaching to his disciples. He's talking, therefore, to you and I as to how we should live as his people. And so his words here are directly applicable for you and I today. Now, there may be some of you with us this morning who don't count yourselves yet as one of his disciples. And that's okay. I'm glad that you're here and listening to this. And although you may think, well, it's not for me because Jesus is speaking to his disciples, listen to his words this morning and see if they don't make more sense of life than everything else around you. See if they're not more powerful and have the ring of truth about them than anything else you see or hear or listen to. This radical message of Jesus began last week when he said that blessings would come to his people through being poor and hungry and weeping and being rejected by others for his sake. Not how we usually think blessings will come, but it does, says Jesus. And the radical message continues today in this passage, and it comes in the form of a command to love. Now, there's nothing very strange about that. Nearly everyone in this world loves someone or something. But the thing that defines us as a follower of Jesus is whom we are to love. Look at the incredible words of Jesus to start this passage and let them wash over you for a moment, especially if you're familiar with them. Think about what they mean. Verse 27, "But I tell you who hear me, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you." The people listening to Jesus back then when he originally gave these words would have been blown away. Love my what, Jesus? I'm a Jew. I follow the Old Testament. I love God and I love my family as I'm instructed to in the Old Testament, and I love my neighbour, although there's some argument over who my neighbour is. But the Old Testament tells me I should do that. But you want me to love who? Jesus calls us to love our enemies. I want you to do something for me for a moment. I want you to call to mind an enemy. I want you to think of someone specifically, a face or a name, whether you're a verbal or a visual person. I want you to think of someone who has genuinely hurt you, someone who has legitimately wronged you. Who's your nemesis? Or maybe you've got more than one. Maybe you've got nemesis. Jesus calls you to love that person. And notice that loving them isn't just not doing them harm. Notice that loving them isn't just staying out of their way. Notice that loving them isn't just apathy or indifference or a lack of involvement or a lack of engagement. It's acting for their good. You can see that in verse 29 and 30, where Jesus gives four practical illustrations of the principle, love your enemy. Have a look at the illustrations. If someone strokes you on one cheek, turn to him the other also. If someone takes your cloak, don't stop him from taking your tunic. Give to everyone who asks you, and if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. I don't know about you, but when I read those words of Jesus, I automatically put them in a strong Scottish brogue. And the reason is that they remind me of words said by Sean Connery in the movie The Untouchables, and Sean Connery's got a very Scottish accent. In that movie, Sean Connery is training a young prohibition agent, Elliot Ness, Kevin Costner, how to combat the crime lords like Al Capone in the city of Chicago. And in one famous speech, he almost says the opposite of what Jesus does here. Do you remember the speech? You want to know how to get Capone? He says to Elliot Ness, they pull a knife, you pull a gun. They send one of your people into the hospital, you send one of his to the morgue. That's the Chicago way, that's how you get Capone. That's the world's way with how you deal with an enemy. It's either fight, the way Connery's kind of saying it here, or it's flight. You remove yourself from the situation. You remove yourself from the enemy. Jesus says, don't fight, don't flight. Love. Love them. The world says, if they pull a knife, you pull a gun. If they pull one of yours in the hospital, you put one of theirs in the morgue. Jesus says, if he strikes you, turn the other cheek and let him strike you again. Jesus says, if he takes your cloak, you give him your tunic as well. Jesus says, give to anyone who asks and don't take things back. He says, love them. Now, I want to warn you here because some people try to make these into specific laws, these four illustrations. So it's always wrong for a Christian to ever slap someone on the cheek or to not turn the other cheek. Or it's always wrong to never fail that's too many negatives. It's always wrong to fail to give. But that's to confuse what Jesus is saying here. He's giving illustrations, four illustrations, of the principle. The principle's the key thing, love your enemies. It's not like you can go, oh, well, phew, I don't have a tunic, I've only got a jacket. I would have given you my jacket, but Jesus didn't say anything about jackets. He only mentioned tunics. Don't think of it in that kind of way. These are principles. Sometimes it might be the loving thing to do to not give when you're asked. I lived at Latimer Square for a couple of years with Tim and a few others. I learned that it was totally unloving to give money to certain people who asked for it because it went straight on methylated spirits and straight on glue because methylated spirits is cheaper than alcohol and glue was cheaper than drugs. Sometimes it may be loving to call the police if you're being robbed for their particular good. Do you see what I mean? Don't get bogged down by the illustrations that Jesus gives. Get bogged down by the principle. You and I are to be motivated not out of selfishness, not out of justice, not out of vengeance, not out of a love of our possessions or a feeling of being wronged. We're to be motivated by wanting the best for those who've loved us. That is radical, and that is hard. Have you got that face in your mind or name? What's your natural reaction to those who've wronged you? How do you feel towards them and act towards them? I've shared before here at St. Stephen's, I've got an overly developed sense of justice when it comes to myself. If someone's cut me off in traffic, if someone's unfairly charged me of something, if someone's wronged me in a particular way, I seethe. And I want to justify, and I want justice, and I want an admission of guilt, and I'm angry with them. How are you? Jesus says, love your enemies. Don't seek justice first, or payback, or clearing your name, or peace. Seek their good before yours. It's you and I intentionally acting for their good. Think again of the nemesis, the person who hurts you. Or wrongs you, the person who unfairly accuses you or speaks ill of you or looks down on you, you're to love them. The loved one who's betrayed you, the peer who always puts you down publicly, the insurance company that swindles you, the boss who treats you like dirt, you're to love them. Don't think first of your dignity, your pain, your stuff, your justice, your loss. Think of their good. That's what Jesus calls us to. Imagine a world when that was the attitude of people. See, if you read these verses as just you've got to turn your cheek if they slap you, as if that's the literal kind of thing, or money, that this love can seem a bit wussy. It's just always being a doormat and things like that. Not a bit of it. This is powerful love. This is formidable love. It's potent love that affects lives and changes the world. It's radical. So let me ask you how you're feeling this morning as you hear these words of Jesus. A bit shameful? I have been all week. It's felt like a kick in the guts. And it's the kind of passage where you try and wriggle out of it in any other way. I found myself one day thinking, oh, I hope so-and-so hears this. They need to listen to this. I need to listen to this. You need to listen to this. Don't dodge it. Feel it. Let me drive the point home a little harder. Jesus says this should characterize us as Christians. And remember last week he said, when people hate you and reject you for my sake, it's in the context of your enemies being your enemies because you're a Christian, because you're a Bible-believing evangelical Christian. How do we treat our enemies as Bible-believing evangelical Christians? Who are our enemies? I guess you could say atheists, or people of other faiths, or sinners, or liberals. How do we treat our enemies? I fear that love is not the first word that would come to mind about us. And I'm not just talking about the extremists who we kind of see as nutters, and I'm not talking about the people that did the Crusades or the Spanish Inquisition. I'm not talking about the people who in other lands bomb abortion clinics in the name of Jesus or write terrible slogans on banners at the funerals of gay people who've died of AIDS. I'm not talking about the extremists. I'm talking about the more moderate of us. Too often, as Bible-believing evangelical Christians, I fear we're judgmental and harsh and aloof and aggressive and uninvolved with those we disagree with, those we know are wrong, those who are our enemies. Shame on us if we don't love them. We're content to speak true words, even if it's done out of smugness or arrogance or a desire to prove others wrong or a desire to prove ourselves right, rather than out of a love and a concern for those who are wrong, that they will see the error and change. It's a fine line, but I wonder if too often we're on the wrong side of it. I think we as evangelicals are good at truth and not always as good at love. And I'll leave it with you to see whether you agree with me. And let me say again, I'm not saying it's wrong to contend for the truth. I'm not saying at all it's wrong to confront error and name sin as sin. Jesus did that. He was fearless in that. But he did it out of love, not just to be right. He did it out of love, not just to hear the sound of his own voice. He had the arm round the shoulder as he spoke the hard word, but always loving for their good, not to, you know, just be right. As I said, I worry that evangelicals, I'm speaking to myself, are too good at the moment at speaking the truth, but not good enough always at doing it in love. It's not enough that we do the right thing. We need to do the good thing. And not just towards those who deserve it or those that we like, but to all, including our enemies. It's the 1 Corinthians 13 problem. You know that famous passage in the scriptures on love that everyone has at their wedding, but it's not actually about marriage love? It's a letter that's written to a group of Christians who are so gifted and so talented, but lack love. And do you remember what Paul says in that kind of, if I speak in the tongues of angels, but I don't have love. If I have the gift of prophecy, but I don't have love. And Jesus could say the same thing here. If I speak true words, but don't have love, what is it? I find this passage hard because I find it hard to love my enemies. I have the least sympathy and the least empathy, and the least patience, and the least ability to extend the courtesy of extenuating circumstances to those who I think are wrong, unkind, ungrateful, who I think are bullies or intolerant, or who are ministers who don't stand for the gospel. These are the people I struggle with. Jesus says, I'm to love them. I'm to love them. Who are you to love? And love is blind, they say, and it is, isn't it? Because I give maximum sympathy and maximum empathy and maximum patience and the excuse of extenuating circumstances to those I respect and I love and I admire and I find pleasing. Well, guess what, Jay? Everyone does that. Big deal. That's what Jesus goes on to say here. Very easy to love those you love. Very easy to love those you like and think are deserving of your love. Look at verse 32. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you, Jesus says? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who are good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. And if you lend to those from whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners expecting to be repaid in full. Don't pat yourself on the back with that. Everyone does it. We as followers of Jesus, as Christians, should be defined and marked out by the way we love everyone. Not just those we like. How we love our enemies, not just those we get on with and enjoy the company of. And remember again, that's not just leaving them in peace, that's not loving them, it's not just ignoring them and not causing them pain, it's actively working for their good. And that means practically working for their good. It's not enough just to pray for them. The illustrations that Jesus gives is turning the cheek and giving the tunic. It involves action. Although just on that, I want to mention, verse 27 does say, pray for them. Pray for those who mistreat you. And I've got to say, that is a practical step if you're really struggling with a particular person. It's very hard to hate someone or go on being hurt and bitter towards them when you are regularly praying for their good. Try it. And that can be hard sometimes because, you know, in places we don't like to admit, sometimes we don't want to let go of it. Sometimes we actually don't want to make it better. And we don't want their good. But in the words of Frozen, let it go. Give it to the Lord. Pray for them regularly. But don't just pray for them, because Jesus here demands more. Do you see the radical nature of these words? We are to love our enemies. That is huge. It's huge. Let me close by telling you what will help you and I live this radical, countercultural way. We will be helped when we remember that this is how the Lord's loved us. And that when we live this out, we show that we're his children to the rest of the world. Do you see the last few verses, verse 35? But love your enemies, do good to them, and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, because he's kind to the ungrateful and wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Our Father is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. There's another group of people I find it hard to love, the ungrateful. I feel like I'm in confession this morning. Don't you, people that receive your kindness, who you go out of your way to bless in some way and you get nothing back, is there anything more annoying or ungracious? I think probably every parent could give me an amen in some way or shape or form this morning. Friends, that's you and I towards God. That's the heart of sin, that he's given you and I everything, our bodies, our breath, the blessings, the world, the life, and we say, thanks, I'll live my way, thank you. Thank you, but I'll make my decisions, thank you. Thank you, I've heard what you want, but this is what I want to do. That's what we do when we live our lives without reference to him. We ignore the one and don't even consider the one who's given us everything. We're ungrateful, we're unfaithful, and he what? Gives us his son. Gives us his son. As Romans puts it, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. That's how God loves you and I. As ungrateful, as ungodly, as enemies. Jesus is not a do as I say, not as I do kind of guy. He's calling us to live as he lived. He's calling us to live as his Father lived. In the cross, I don't know whether you thought about it in this way before, but in the cross, love trumps everything else. Payback, justice, vengeance, an eye for an eye, retribution, all those things are there contained in some way, but love trumps it all. God doesn't just not give us what we deserve. He gives us what we could never, ever deserve. He loves us. He loves us his enemies. The world today says, I'll love you if you look a certain way. I'll love you if you achieve enough. I'll love you if you make me feel good. I'll love you if you appeal to me or if you do good to me. God says, I love you as you are, as my enemy. And the love that he offers isn't just an empty gesture or word, it's action. He lowers himself as a human being to face hurt and pain and betrayal and death and forsakenness to make you and I, who are his enemies, into his sons and daughters. That's his love. And when we live that out, these verses say that we show we're sons and daughters of the Most High, as verse 35 says. Not because it makes us sons and daughters, that's the cross, but because we're then living the same as our Father. Like a child resembling their parents, we will resemble the Lord as we love our enemies. I think the things that make love difficult are laziness, selfishness. It's that kind of thing that makes it difficult. Don't let those things rule your heart and your life. Let love rule it. Do you see how radical and hard and unnatural this is? But this is the power of God's love. It's the strength and force of it. And we need to live it out as well. Our world is shallow in its portrayal of love. Nearly always romantic, nearly always selfish, nearly always lazy. Frozen was a step up. Jesus is radically different. And yet you and I are privileged to have received that love from God. And now it's our privilege to live it out to those around us. And I pray that God would use it as a blessing to others. I'm going to do something I don't always do now, but I'm going to leave a couple of minutes of silence for those of you who, like me this week, have been challenged in this area. And perhaps there is a particular name or face or couple of people that come to mind. Or perhaps it's just a general attitude you find in your own heart. Or perhaps there's just thankfulness that the Lord has loved you, even though you and I were enemies towards him. But I'm going to leave a couple of moments of silence and then I'm going to lead us in prayer. Father, we thank you that you love the ungrateful, that you love us. We thank you for that love which is so strong and powerful and works not for your good but for ours. And we pray that more and more you would help us be people that live that love out in our lives to our enemies. Lord, if there are particular people or situations that we're wrestling with this morning, I pray that you might give us the grace and the discipline and the strength to love. That we would not be motivated just by selfishness and self, but for their good. That we would follow the Lord Jesus. And that in doing that, we would be a blessing to them and we would honour you. Please help us in this area, Lord. Forgive us for those times when we let you and others down. But give us the strength and the desire to keep standing up and seeking to live it again in all situations. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.